In 2003, Nike signed 13-year-old Freddie Adu to a 7-figure contract. But Freddie didn't live up to the hype. He has turned down every single documentary project looking closely at the details of his career. Until now.
People are going to look at everything you did because of the hype surrounding your arrival and what they think you can be.
I'm Grant Wall, and this is American Prodigy, Freddie Adu, from Blue Wire Podcasts.
Andy Liu, we are back.
Ooh, full name today.
Wow. A lot of pods this week. We're pumping out the content. I wanted to start by thanking everyone who joined us for the draft show yesterday. And for those who didn't join it, I want to thank you if you either, if you listen to it on our pod feed, we'd appreciate it. You know, rate 5 stars, listen to it, do all that good stuff. That was, you know, I've been so excited for that draft show for months. And it felt like such a gut punch when we got the Clay news literally 20 minutes before we started. Like, on some level, I just have to laugh a little bit because it feels so cursed.
Yeah, it was a rough one. I think you took it a little bit harder than me in the moment.
Yeah.
And then I think today I took it harder than you when it happened. So it was a little bit different. But it's tough. It's tough because did you see the Bob Myers presser? It seemed like he was like he was DJing.
I did.
Funeral.
Yeah.
Emceeing a funeral, I should say.
I was going to say one thing. Oof. I relate to Stefan is when things go bad, I get like very, I get like a blank stare. Like I check out, like, I feel like I rewatched part of it. I feel like I do that thing where like, you know how, like when Steph is having a bad game, he looks like he's staring into another universe. You're like, where's your head at, dude? Yep. You know? Meanwhile, you kind of try to push through it. You're a little more Draymond here. Like, moral of the story. Yeah, it's like Stephen Draymond here. I really was trying to work an analogy to compare myself to Steph.
To Steph. Yeah, I can't imagine. By the way, I also can't imagine what Steph and Dre are feeling like. But, you know, I will say that the show was a massive success. I think we had like almost, I think at the peak, almost like 700 people
just watching, another 10,000 streaming it after the fact. You know what my favorite part of the show was?
Uh-oh.
I think the guests kind of really hit every mood. Like Bonte Hill was just perfect for like an emotional pick you up in a moment when we thought like everything was screwed, right? And then like Andrew Sharp, friend of the show, was kind of perfect for kind of letting us sort through our feelings. And then finally we bring Slater in to really get us like big picture thinking beyond. Like I feel like it was a very therapeutic show. I was meant to get more excited about James Wiseman, and we'll talk about James Wiseman today. But all things considered, Klay Thompson is kind of the bigger story in Warriors world.
Yeah. There's nothing bigger. Once I got through my feelings, I don't like the, hey, this thing is over attitude. Right. I hate it. It actually very much annoys me. Now, if you're Steph Curry and Draymond Green doing that, like, of course, like, dude, we're not players. Like, those guys are really good friends with Klay Thompson, right? So it's like, you get it from their perspective. I just think if you're, you know, front office or if you're a fan or something like that, I think there has to be you can't just be like, all right, like, let's, like, the season's fucked. Right? Like I really don't like that. Yeah. It really annoys me. It irks me. And I think like the a lot of the fans are not like that, but you see some of that and you see it. Some media too are just like, whoa is the war. Like they're done this blah, blah. And I don't get it. It's like, look, Joe Lacob just paid $80 million, Sam, to pick up a guy that's probably going to be pretty average, but they're going for it. They're trying.
Yeah. I want to talk about Clay before we get into everything else. I thought Bob Myers said it best. There's two guys in the NBA who are universally beloved, him and Derrick Rose. Mm. And it is kind of true. Have you noticed Clay is the only player other the only guy that other teams' fans don't insult. You know, with Steph, there's a jealousy factor.
Yes.
With Draymond, just everything about Draymond's always going to be love-hate. Like, it's just how it goes. But Klay's just kind of the cool guy that everyone wants to be friends with. And everyone universally respects. He's kind of got that mystique because of his big game performances, which are real, by the way. The dude's, whatever it is, he has it, right?
He was playing the greatest game of his life before he tore his ACL. Like, very simply put, in quite possibly, like, one of the greatest. Like that third, that three-peat to cap off, you know, that three-year stretch and the five-year stretch would have been amazing. And, you know, something almost tells me that they would have done it, right? And, like, that's exactly what Klay is. It is crazy. Like, nobody hates – like, I saw even, like, the darkest depths of Twitter, you know, when people still hate on the Warriors, they were hating on Steph when that Klay news came out.
I know. I thought, like, oh, Steph's getting exposed now.
But it's like it's never about Klay, though, Sam. Yeah. It's never about – even in that moment, it's about Steph Curry. It's insane. But yeah, the Klay stuff is truly amazing.
And I mean, where are you with one? You know, we don't need to get into the psychology of like how much this sucks. He rehabbed, literally camp is going to open in 11 days. And this happens to him. Like, that's just brutal. Torn Achilles could not be a worse injury for basketball. And I mean, Where does Klay go from here as a player?
Yeah, so Woj did tweet, and I think Bob Myers did say that they plan on him making a full recovery. The timeline that was thrown out was 9 months.
That's, you know, obviously of course done for the season, but that would mean he could start next season.
Yes, he would, and probably not, right? Like, he's probably going to be, it'll probably be like 12 months at this point, especially after an ACL. Of course, they're going to say it's a full recovery. I don't think. Like, I don't think he's done by any stretch. Like, again, he does need athleticism. Like, he's not the quickest guy or the leaper, but you need to play his type of defense. You still need, like, a lot of stability on knees, legs, feet, all of that, right? Now that's all messed up. So he still needs all of that. But I don't think – I don't think there's a level of explosion that he's going to miss. I think it's a little bit similar to Kevin Durant. Kevin Durant, like, amazing athlete, but he doesn't really operate on that type of explosion either. He's so tall. He's so smooth. Like, you can't guard him with a smaller guy. So right. He's unstoppable regardless. Or, sorry, a bigger guy. And I think some of that was with Klay Thompson. I think if Steph Curry, fingers crossed, God forbid, had this
injury, I would.
Right, but like, I think it would be a lot more worrisome for someone like Steph, who's smaller, who uses a lot of his quickness.
Change of pace, yeah.
He's lost a little bit in the last couple of years. I think if Klay loses that, I don't think it's that bad.
To me, the bigger worry with Klay is I think his days of averaging 20 and being a second option are officially done. I don't know that off of those two injuries, you can count on Klay being the 35-minute, 40-minute a game in the playoffs Iron Man. I think the next chapter of Klay's career, I do agree with you. I think he can be wildly effective, but he might have to move to like a Manu Ginobili role where he doesn't really play
over 20-ish. Why was that the player that I was thinking of right now? Why was that the player that was in my head?
Yeah. Because in our heart of hearts, we like to imagine them as the next Parker, Manu, Ginobili. That's why, you know? And quite frankly, you know, if their bodies don't all break down, that's kind of who they're going to be, right? But my point is, I wonder if – and so that changes the Warriors' trajectory. Forget this year. Going forward, it kind of puts the onus on the Warriors to need to find – someone else to be a lead option with Steph. So Klay, when he comes back, doesn't feel the need to have to average 25 and quite frankly, re-injure himself for the third time.
And I think that's okay. I think that's how sports works, right? It's like, you can't look, unless you tell me, even Scottie Pippen had a broken back or something, like some, you know, right. A lot better than me. Like even MJ and Pippen had injuries. Well, MJ actually might not have ever. He might not have ever had anything. Or he just
MJ's didn't matter. MJ's like LeBron, where they're just like, there's a level of physical lottery.
Yeah, you just don't get hurt ever. It's just not possible. But I think that was the Warriors were always going to need a little bit more. Maybe this season, maybe they were going to have enough to win a championship. I thought they could have, but I think they were always going to need an extra guy. And that's why it's cool. It's not cool that Klay got hurt, but I think it's cool that they hung on to that pick, They drafted James Wiseman, who I believe still has the highest upside in the draft, who has the highest floor in the draft, and he could be that superstar. Maybe not. But then next season, you have the Minnesota pick, and you draft Jalen whoever the fuck, and then that guy could
literally be half the guys in the top 10 are named Jalen, so it's a good guess.
I think we make this joke every week, but whatever. But it's like, I think that's cool. Like, I don't think there was ever a reason to say like, oh, we're going to flip this pick for like that two pick for like a mediocre guy, right? Like Aaron Gordon, not that they were going to do, or Miles Turner, something like that.
Right, right. Someone who's going to be better than James Wiseman in the 2020-21 season. But like, if you're looking at a 5-year window, there's no way that it's a better gamble.
And I think that even if you, like, let's say they win one championship, and I think that's a lot, right, in the next 3 years.
Sure.
Right? It's definitely not. Well, I can make the case this year, maybe, if you want to get delusional. But one in the next 3 years. But let's say you get Wiseman and the next guy, right, and the next guy, the next year, let's say you don't trade it because
you really like the guy, right, yeah.
You get him, and you get those two, and those guys end up being, like, really, like, tier B stars. In 3-4 years, like I think at end of the road, Steph Curry, end of the road, Klay Thompson are good enough to squeeze out another championship.
You're talking like the Kawhi Leonard
dream scenario. Yeah, like that's scenario. The dream scenario. Yeah, that's why course. I said tier B. That's why I said tier B. Yeah. Like Kawhi is like tier A plus, right? So tier B. Yeah, but like I think that's not a bad scenario, man. Like I just don't think that the sky, well, the sky is kind of falling. I just don't think it's.
I think what sucks is, first off, I agree with you. All hope is not lost in terms of the big picture, yeah. But I think what really sucks is not just Warrior fans, but the Warriors, specifically Steph, Klay, and Draymond, were so excited to have their revenge tour where we get to see if they can win a title without KD, with that as like the main nucleus. And when I say the main nucleus, I mean like, you know, Steph will average 30, Klay will average 25, Draymond will do his Draymond thing. And it's like, that is like truly the glue of the team. And I don't think we're ever going to see it. I think when Klay comes back, his role is going to be much different. And we'll be so far removed from that. They can definitely win a title with the three players on the roster, but it's not going to be running it back 2015 style. And I think that's what sucks because of the, yep. How long the layoff was. I just wanted them to have the opportunity. Like, yeah. forget if it happens. They deserve the opportunity.
Do you think though that they just can't do that next season? Again, my argument before the season was that yes. Everyone's like, oh, these guys are done. Like he's getting old, but it's like, not really.
Not. I fundamentally don't think there's any scenario in which Klay off of two ligament tears, one being the Achilles, in his 30s can be asked to play the role
but maybe they
he played
don't need
in 2015
to.
Or 16.
But maybe they don't need to win that way again. 2014-15, 15-16.
Isn't that by default then not the revenge tour? Isn't that like the next iteration? It's like a different iteration. That's what I'm saying.
But let's say, for example, Wiseman turns out to be DeAndre Jordan by next season.
Okay.
So he's DeAndre Jordan.
You're talking like peak, like good, great rim protector and lob yep. threat.
So he reaches that next season, which maybe is a little far of a reach, but I don't think it's that big of a reach. They get him. Draymond is fine. He is who he is. He's not as great as before. Klay is like he's coming off those injuries. Steph is same thing. They're all lowered a little bit, but they find another guy, like a fifth guy that's pretty good, right? He's obviously not. Maybe that's Andrew Wiggins. I don't think. Like, I don't think that team is automatic. And if they win with that team, I don't think it's like, oh, like, these guys got, like, this superstar to come help them. Like, I don't think next season coming around that they need an MB okay. to win a championship. So,
yeah.
Like, they can find, like another couple wings that are really good. And I think they could still win a title next season. Look, they may not, but I don't think it's impossible. But if you ask me, like, 3 seasons from now, can they do that? Yeah, obviously. It's like, no, there's no chance.
I feel like I need to temper the expectations for what Klay can be. I feel confident that he can be a good NBA player. I feel like his days of being an all-star are over, and I kind of think the Warriors need a second all-star besides Steph. So whether it's James Wiseman.
You don't think it's Draymond? You know,
I think he's not there anymore either. So, yeah, I mean, I don't know. I'd like – when people say the dynasty is over, I partially agree. I think the days in which it's those three players as the highest usage guys on your team are over. And any iteration of the Warriors that's successful with them on the roster might involve Draymond and, more importantly, Clay taking a smaller role, taking a role like Iguodala or Livingston or those guys had in the past, where it's not that they're bad players, it's just they're older and they've been banged up, and it's just not fair to ask Clay to do what he did in 2016 off of two.
I think that's logical. I think I'm more thinking if they fill out the rest of the roster so that Quinn Cook or Alphonso McKinney aren't playing big minutes in playoff games, right? Like, it is to me kind of up to Bob Myers and Steve Kerr. Joe Lacob is off the hook. Like, the guy, he will spend no matter what. And I don't think he even cares who he gets at this point. Just get me someone that may be good and I will pay for that. So to me, it's like, Steve Kerr, can you build a system around these guys to win another title? Bob Myers, can you find good players so that we're not watching Quinn Cook clank shots over and over, wide open shots over and over again? And I think that I'm not going to discount that they can't do it one more time. That's my take. I choose to believe they do have one more run in them. And maybe some of that is relying on James Wiseman too.
I think we're just going to agree to disagree on what one more run means. To me, it's one more. They're just going to be a fundamentally different team, which is fine. It's good. I think they can win a title with these guys on the roster, but it's going to be hard. Mm. And the second reason it's going to be hard is, I guess we should start talking about this. Clay is making $40 million a year. Steph is making $45 million. Draymond's making $25 million. Kind of averaging it out a little bit. It's a little lower than all those figures. But this is really their only summer they can spend because they have these exceptions. Going forward, everything's going to have to be draft or trade. So it's going to be hard for them to build around this roster. And, you know, we'll see what happens. But let's pivot this to...
You don't trust in Justinian Jessup is what I'm hearing, and that really annoys me.
The new Duncan Robinson.
Yeah, really. Come on, Nico Mannion. The new, what is he? What is he compared to? I don't know. But your point, yeah, you were
going. Obviously crafty white point guard who's good out of the pick and roll has to be Steve Nash, right?
He is a great decision maker. That is the scouting report on him. So I will take that.
But we'll move here. So now the Warriors are entering this weird season. Clay is gone, and they have three exceptions. They have the traded player exception they got for Iguodala last year, which is up to $17.2 million. They have the mid-level exception, which is $5.6 million. And they're probably going to get the disabled player exception because Clay is missing the full year. The way that works, I just want to clarify this for listeners. You only get the DPE, disabled player exception, if a doctor rules it's medically impossible for Clay to return by game 7 of the NBA Finals. In other words, a doctor has to say there is no circumstance in which he can be healed by, I think it's July 22nd this year. And I think it's a pretty good shot they're going to get that because...
8 months.
Because there's not a doctor who's going to say
he
should play off of an ACL tear than a second Achilles tear second injury that is an Achilles tear. Like, it's just medical malpractice to be like, oh, you can be back in 6 months. Like, you know, so
they'll get that. So Sam sources says they'll get that. Sam, when do they get that though? Tomorrow? Free agency?
I doubt it. But I think the only thing that matters is if they have indication they're going to get it.
Yeah, they can.
They can, like the free agent they're going to sign, they could be like, all right, technically we can't sign you till Tuesday when we get
it.
So just like stand tight. I think what matters is the knowledge that they're going to get it. They need to have some sort of indication that it's for sure going to be granted. Just to give you guys reference, they did not get a DPE for Clay last year.
Yeah, they didn't.
Because... Yeah. He tore his ACL in June last year, and technically he could have played in June of 2020.
I mean, we were expecting him to play.
Yeah, I remember that. It's different. Yeah.
This is different.
Whereas I think, well, I know the Wizards got one for John Wall because he tore his Achilles in January. And, like, let's be real. If you tear your Achilles in January, you're not going to be healthy by June, right? And I think Boogie Cousins may have even got one with the Lakers for when he tore his ACL in the summertime last year, because they're like, there's no way he's going to be ready by the end of the season. So I think they're probably going to get it. And that's a third exception they have to work with. And that takes us to the news item of the day. Shams is reporting that the Warriors are on the verge of acquiring Kelly Oubre.
Yeah, if you guys are, by the way, if you don't subscribe to Light Years Premium, you should, because, well, number one, you get more podcasts. I think we've churned out two extra ones this week already. We had the pregame show that Sheed came out with, or came to join us. And then there's a Discord chat that really talked about Kelly Oubre, I think, every day for like half a year. And I shit you not, Sam, every day. And it finally happened. I think Kirk Lacob read the text. I think Kirk Lacob has a burner and signed up for Light Years Premium. And he did it. $17 million exception. Oubre's contract is $14 million.
Right.
And Sam, what was it added up to? $82 million total that the Warriors are now paying?
Yeah, so...
Sorry. Just for Oubre.
So let me get the numbers here just so listeners get it accurately. So, one, there is going to be luxury tax relief this year, but no one knows how much it's going to be. It's basically going to be, if BRI drops 20%, the luxury tax will drop 20%. So it's going to be in line with whatever that is, which is to say, it's not as serious a relief as you think, but it's just in line with, like, the league, you know, they're going to have no fans in the stands, right? So there needs to be some sort of protection for that, right? Long story short, most people think it means it'll drop 30%. And the luxury tax is a progressive tax. So the higher up you go into it, the more you get taxed.
It's a Biden plan.
Yeah, similar. I mean, it's just the U.S. tax policy. But anyway, Oubre gets $14.4 million next year because of the Warriors' payroll, which is already over the cap with Wiggins, Steph, Clay, Draymond, and don't forget, Wiseman makes 8.2 or 8.5 maybe even. Anyway, because of that, Oubre's the tax to acquire Oubre is $68 million, give or take, which is to say they're going to pay five times as much of his contract value just to bring him on. Or four times as much.
Insane. And absolutely
insane. I can't think of another owner who would do that in a season like this. Maybe you get like the Buss family to do that for the Lakers if they're on the verge of winning a title or like a couple or a team like that.
Absolutely but like, insane.
But like doing it in what's essentially a year that I don't think anyone thinks they're going to win a title.
Couple things. Number one, the league's not making money. The Warriors are not making money. Number two, like what you just said, they just lost their second best player on the team to an Achilles injury. Number three, it's Kelly Oubre. Look, Kelly Oubre's fine. He's athletic. Apparently he's good looking.
And there's upside.
He's 24. He's an expiring contract. So I guess he's out next season, maybe, unless they want to sign him. They have his rights.
They have flexibility.
Right. But Jesus, that is a lot of money. Not my money. Not your money. Joe Lacob, very rich man. Goober, very rich man. So it doesn't matter. Still, you look at Tillman Fertitta, who retweeted this and was laughing about it. Just an absolute disgrace to the NBA, Tillman Fertitta. Ryan McDonough, who was, I believe, the ex-exec for the Phoenix Suns, right? So he worked under Robert Sarver, just tweeted
Robert that, Sarver, an owner who's not known for spending.
Yeah, who I believe he literally just said, I once had an owner ask me why my cell phone bill, which was under $200, was so expensive. Okay. So this is this Joe Lacob's the man for this. Like truly, like that is a great move. I'm saying he should always spend it regardless. It's not like he's going broke, but that is a move that makes you think that he truly gives a shit about winning instead of kind of like, oh, how do I save money? Right? How do I make the most
money? First off, does Andy Liu spend $68 million if he's the owner in this season? Because I suspect you might be a little cheaper.
That's like, I have no idea what I would do, but can you imagine, right? Even if you're almost a billionaire, which I don't think he's a, doesn't matter, but like, Jesus. And like the craziest part to me, if you told me he was spending that money on Ben Simmons, like the Warriors somehow got Ben Simmons, I'd be like, all right, that makes sense. Like, do that every time.
Yeah.
Most owners, maybe half the owners would do that. But Kelly Oubre is the craziest part to me.
Yeah.
We can break down Kelly Oubre. We should, one way or another.
But
Jesus, yeah. Kelly Oubre.
I want to talk about one last thing here. To me, this tells me Joe Lacob gets it on some level. He understands what he wants to charge for Chase Center. He understands he's trying to build a brand which associates Warriors with excellence. They're not always going to win a title, but you want people to think of the Warriors the same way they think of like the Yankees or like these preeminent franchises where you're like, win or lose, they're always in the mix, right? Yeah. And for someone like Lacob, I think he's acutely aware of the fact that if he doesn't do this, Steph might not stay. And if he's just wasting another year of Steph's prime by being cheap, Steph might be like, dude, I love the fans here. I love everything about the Bay, but this team is not close. And maybe I should go chase a ring in Miami.
I'm disgusted that I didn't mention this, but look at the Milwaukee Bucks. Same scenario that's happening. Like right now, like Bogdan Bogdanovich looks like he's not going to be going to the Bucks anymore, which I thought we were talking about was a great move. Doesn't look like that's happening. They don't look like they're going to be a finals contender. And if you're Giannis and you're sitting there and you're like, my prime, which is just beginning, whereas with Steph, his prime is you know, a couple years to go. Giannis has probably got 8 more years. Why the hell am I here? You know what I mean? Right. Like, what am I doing here?
To me, this is, if anything, to me, this is a signal to his guys, which is Steph and Draymond, and the rest of the league. We're not always going to do everything perfect, but we're not going to leave you guys without resources. We're not going to budget you in the margins just so I can make $2 extra. And I think that matters because, like, just be real. If you're Steph Curry, the thought had to have gone through your head, like, can I win another title here? Do I have to start considering moving before the end of my career? Do I have to consider going to Miami? Like, I could see Steph loving the hell out of playing with Jimmy Butler, with Spoelstra, with that whole thing, you know?
I disagree, but only from the perspective of I just don't want to see that happening, so I don't want to entertain it. That's why I would disagree. Perhaps that could be true. But again, like it doesn't seem like it's going to happen. Like if you're Steph Curry, you're like, holy shit, right? Like this guy's willing to do this. Now the issue I think is,
but what I was getting at is just to tie it in, because I don't want to annoy Warrior fans again. If Lacob decided to go cheap, could you see that thought start coming in Steph's head? Like, is this done? Are they done here?
I think so, because there have been times where Lacob has been cheap, maybe to Steph, right? So I think there have been times where Steph has been like, I think even this has been talked about. I think this has been reported that Steph, when he asked for the max contract, that Lacob was like, hey, do you think that Steph would want to sign for less? And Steph was like, fuck off. You know what I mean? So I think certainly Steph, that for sure has entered his mind. I think this has probably changed a little bit of that. Somebody compared Joe Lacob to Jerry Jones, which I found pretty funny. Jerry Jones always willing to spend, but perhaps not the smartest owner, but he's willing to get his team. He's willing to pay to get his team where it needs to be.
Except for paying his best player. But we don't need to talk about the Cowboys. Yeah. This is a Cowboys podcast.
But I think... But that's maybe some of the problem with the Warriors is that they need to pay smarter guys to make the basketball decisions. But we're not – again, we're going to get into that in a second. I do think, though, this move, it says a lot, and it also tells me that they're going to use the disabled player exception and they're going to use the taxpayer mid-level exception. I did find it fascinating that of all the people that Bob Myers could name that everyone loved, that it's Derrick Rose who might be a Warrior. So I thought that was pretty funny too. But
after we got to pay some bills, but is he tampering? No.
Yeah, that was pretty funny. Like, Bob, come on, we know what you're trying to do here. All right, let me get through these real quick. Football is back in full swing. Basketball is almost back in a couple of weeks. You might not be at a game this year, but you can still be in on the action at BetOnline. BetOnline is going the extra mile to make sure you can get in on every possible chance to win this season. From game spreads and totals to team, player, and coaching props, BetOnline gives you more options to wager than anywhere else. You can get in on their season opening bonuses today. Start wagering on wins, division, and championship futures. You could probably get some good odds on Steph MVP right now. I think that's probably a good bet, actually. The narrative is on his side. Head to BetOnline today.
Control the narrative.
I should probably start that show soon. Take advantage of all the great sign-up bonuses. Don't forget to use the promo code BLUEWIRE. BetOnline.ag, you guys know what it is. Blue Wire, all one word. BetOnline, your online sportsbook experts. You know what's coming next. Indeed, 2020 has already reshaped how we work, and it's almost over. Businesses across the globe are challenged to be their most efficient, which means every hire and every signing is critical. Indeed is here to help. Indeed is the number one job site in the world with more visits than any other job site, according to ComScore. I bet you if you're a free agent right now, what's the free agent version of Indeed? Twitter. Indeed helps you find quality candidates quickly so you can focus on hiring the person you need to keep your business going. Unlike other sites, Indeed gives you full control and payment flexibility over your hiring. You only pay for what you need. You can pause your account at any time, and there are no long-term contracts. And now Indeed's new way of matching you with candidates instantly delivers a short list of quality candidates whose resumes on Indeed match your job criteria that you can contact the moment you sponsor a job, making Indeed the only job site that can move as fast as you do. So right now, Indeed is offering our listeners a $75 credit to boost your job post, which means more quality candidates will see it and fast. Try Indeed out, $75 credit, Indeed.com/BlueWire. This is their best offer available anywhere. So go right now, Indeed.com/BlueWire, offer valid through December 31st, terms and conditions apply.
All right, man. Let's get into it. So Kelly Oubre is not official. I will mention, I kind of think what Slater said on our draft show yesterday is what's going to happen. I think the Warriors are going to end up trading a first-round pick for him, but it's going to be so heavily protected that it's probably a second. It's going to be like one of those picks like, okay, if we get a top three seed, you can get the number 25 pick out of us. But since we're probably not going to, it's going to convert into a second round pick for you. And that works for OKC because they get the headline, like, we got another first round pick. But in reality, they're just happy they got off the money.
Wasn't that similar to the
D'Lo?
Yeah, I was just going to say, who would like just wanted the headline, or KD wanted the, whoever. By the way, I'm watching a video of that Antonin Org, who's like one of the Warriors video
the
guys.
The preeminent Steph propaganda account.
He is. We've spawned a lot of Steph propaganda accounts, but he just posted a Kelly Oubre 39 points career high against the Rockets. Looks like that was just this year, Sam. So
it was. I actually watched that game on League Pass.
You are sick. Yeah, you need to get a life. Get a girlfriend. let's talk about Kelly Oubre, though. Let's talk about his fit on the team. Do you think that he's – what do you think about him?
Okay, we'll start with this. It's funny because like my fantasy football group chat's just texting about Warriors moves, and it's just like your quintessential friends who, you know, maybe aren't in the NBA weeds like our listeners here. And they,
I feel like they love it.
Oh yeah. Complete misinterpretation of who Kelly Oubre has been as a player. There's this assumption because he's super athletic, he's a good defender. He's not. He's a guy who to date has been a lot of energy, but it hasn't necessarily translated to good defense yet.
Classic.
And what was I going to say? I'm sorry, I got a call coming in.
No, you're good. I'll take it over. The thing with Oubre to me, and you make a good point about the defense versus the offense. He looks like he could play defense because I always like comparing.
He's big. He's got the wingspan. He's athletic as hell.
He can move. Like I always compare it to Harrison Barnes, where you watch Harrison Barnes, you're like, actually, Harry B was pretty good on defense, especially I think versus fours, and then fives. But Kelly Oubre looks like he can guard twos, threes, and fours. Like he looks like he can do it. But again, I think there's a lot of stuff where he's in the wrong team, wrong franchise, wrong system. They haven't coached him up, right? He's only 24 years old. All that stuff is like, same with Andrew Wiggins, same with Aaron Gordon. Like, you put these guys on the Warriors and you're like, okay, Andrew Wiggins averaged more than a steal and more than a block, right? When he was on the, when in his stint with the Warriors, and you're like, that could be a good defender at the 1-2-3 position. Kelly Oubre, you're thinking that could be the same thing guarding threes and fours, right? Like, that's how I feel defensively. He has the tool set. He has the toolbox, so to speak. Can the Warriors actually get it out of him? I think is the most important part.
Yeah, that's the thing. So to me, he's better offensively than he is defensively right now.
That shot is pretty.
And I don't even know if the shot's pretty, but he's good at cutting. He's good at scoring. He doesn't actually dominate the ball, so he should fit in with the Warriors offensively. He's not a passer. He's not a player that you're going to want to run the offense through. You know, he's not Iguodala. He's not KD. None of that. But he's a guy who he scored 19 points a game last year. And if you watch Phoenix, it was all Rubio and Booker playmaking. It was him spotting up, cutting, one dribble go, that type of stuff, which should work with the Warriors. And you're right. Defensively, he has upside to be good. So we're really banking on the Warriors development staff to get him from being kind of this guy who makes some good defensive plays but isn't Mr. Consistent on that end to being a more consistent defender, quite frankly.
Yeah, he just reminds me of Andrew Wiggins as a like that type of project so much.
Right.
So much. And look, we talked ourselves into Andrew Wiggins this year. It took us a day to talk ourselves into Andrew Wiggins. We talked ourselves into Aaron Gordon, you know, if he was going to be a player on this team. And I think the same thing goes for Kelly Oubre. Like I was saying, that shot is pretty. I think part of it's like maybe he's left-handed. But he does shoot 36%, I believe, from three. Which is pretty good. Like it's not Clay who shoots 40, but like that's legitimate. Again, he's also was playing for the Suns, which is a problem. Like you put that with Steph Curry, like to me, I feel like he could get to 37-38%. Like anytime you play with Steph, like that stuff blows up, right? And then Andrew Wiggins, same thing for him. I think it's a perfect fit for a guy like Kelly Oubre. I think it's the important piece is, I think Ron Adams can get stuff out of him defensively, Sam. I am unsure if Steve Kerr finds an offensive scheme that maximizes everyone. Wiggins, Draymond, and Andrew Wiggins. I'm unsure. I have no idea.
Yeah, so that's an interesting question. We're looking at the Warriors right now, and we should talk about James Wiseman too, because James Wiseman is very talented, but he's young. And the one skill I don't think he has is playmaking. So Steve Kerr has always liked having a bunch of high IQ guys who can pass. Andrew Bogey,
yep.
Andre Iguodala, Sean Livingston, yep. Kevin Durant. We can go down the list. Like, they're very blessed to have that many guys who you could run your offense through. And you're never going to be that lucky. Now he has Steph and Draymond, who are as high IQ as it gets, and a lot of athletic upside. And I'm just looking at the lineup. If they do get Oubre, now you're talking about Steph, Draymond with Wiggins and Oubre on the wings, who have all the potential in the world to be two-way guys but haven't quite put it together yet. And James Wiseman, who has all the potential to be a defensive anchor but also hasn't done it yet. I mean, he's a rookie. He hasn't played a minute in
the
NBA yet.
So this is the key point. By the way, we should probably note that the Minnesota picks – actually, you already said it. Sorry. Yeah, we're both – this is pod number 18 this week. So it's a little repetitive on the – or I'm just forgetting things. I think that you are not running at all. James Wiseman, pinch post, back to the basket,
right.
Split cut. With Kelly Oubre and Steph Curry, because I can guarantee you what Oubre is probably doing is running into Wiseman and like something.
Or just defenses aren't respecting him as a shooter coming off that either.
And this is where I like, I've talked about this before. This is where like sometimes I like watching the LeBron offense, because you put the ball in his hands, he's not making a mistake. What you're going to have KCP run a split cut? You're going to have KCP run a pick and roll? No. Get the ball out of those guys' hands. Let those guys finish. And I think that's what Steve has to move towards to move towards offensively. He didn't do that last season, but that was because it was D'Lo. So now the question is, does he actually end up doing that? Because you have enough guys that you can trust with the ball. Stephen Draymond's enough.
Yeah, it'll be interesting to see what the Warriors do, because I do think they need to start adapting the scheme to the players they have a little more. I don't think they're going to probably use the mid-level exception. They're going to probably get someone with the designated player exception. They'll probably get a couple vets, maybe like a Kent Bazemore, stuff like that. But I don't think you're going to get another Andre Iguodala. You're certainly not going to get a Klay Thompson on the scrap heap. You're not going to get a lot of these a lot of players you had during the run. So can you adapt to the players you get who can do certain really good things to help you win, but maybe not the things that the guys you had 5 years ago could do?
Yeah, exactly. It's like what we just started the podcast with. If the Warriors are going to win a title again, they're not going to win it the same way that they did in 2014. I think they can still win a title. I think Klay can come back next season. I think they can win a title. But are they going to win it playing the same way that they did? No, because it's fucking 2021 when next season comes around. No, actually 2022, Sam, when the 20, you know what I mean? When those finals come around, right? And so it's 8 years removed, 7 years removed from the last title. So you got to change it up a little bit. Steve was the guy that created an offense that made the Warriors a champion. Let's never forget that.
Of course.
But for them to become a champion again and win a fourth title, you cannot do that. In no way are you saying, Kelly Oubre, you get the ball, you make the right decisions with one. You know, this is their offense. You have one read. If whatever the defense does, you make a snap decision off of what the defense does. Do you trust Kelly Oubre and Andrew Wiggins and James Wiseman do that? Absolutely not. And you shouldn't. You're putting those guys in a position to fail. I blame that more on Steve Kerr if that happens versus blaming that on Kelly Oubre. Because why is Kelly Oubre the one that has to make snap decisions off of pick and roll? That should never happen. That should be something that Draymond and Steph and those guys are doing because they've done it. And then I think what's also important here to note is who those guys get with the disabled player exception and the taxpayer mid-level. If they end up getting Derrick Rose, that makes the bench infinitely easy, right? Now Derrick Rose can run the offense. He can make the decisions, and now he's got guys.
Doesn't turn the ball over. It's a different player than the type of player the Warriors have had. You can put the ball in Derrick Rose's hands and trust he won't turn it over, and he'll either get to the rim or collapse the defense and make a play. But you can't be – you're not running Derrick Rose off of a split cut to, you know, come off a pin down and shoot it turning around, because that's not who he is as a player.
And now what Steve Kerr does is like, oh, I want – if I'm going to run it that way, I want someone that's like super efficient doing that, right? Like I'll only change my offense for like Kevin Durant and Steph Curry. But like D-Rose is not going to be that, and you should know that. So why change who he is? Because Derrick Rose is a very, very, very good backup point guard. Like he's probably the best backup point guard if he ends up coming to the Warriors in the league.
Right. I mean, he's basically – you know, he's removed from his MVP year, but he's either a kind of a lower end starter or the best sixth man in the NBA.
Exactly. Like his comeback has been fun to see. Like he's actually a good player. I thought he was done. I thought he's finished. But he's good. Like I think that's the name. That's a good name for the Warriors. Avery Bradley is probably more Warriors-esque, Sam. Like he's probably more like play good defense, off ball. Doesn't really
pass
penetrate.
The ball.
Yeah, doesn't really do any of that. Like, I think they probably want Avery Bradley more than Derrick Rose. But again, Derrick Rose might cost more. Or maybe Avery Bradley costs more. But either way, right? Like, I think Rose is the better player. They have to kind of become that. And I think maybe Bob Myers realizes this because the front office wanted Wiseman so much. You know, because that's a little bit different from what the Warriors were doing previously, too.
Right, yeah. He's a ways removed from Andrew Bogut. He's not that kind of player. He can be a very good player. He's obviously incredibly talented, but we talked to Kevin O'Connor from The Ringer and Sam Vecenie from The Athletic, who both are kind of like, he can be very good, but it's unlikely he'll develop some like playmaking chops to be Marc Gasol. You know, that's not who he's going to be. He's going to be a guy who rim runs and dunks the ball aggressively, protects the rim, and potentially becomes a good three-point shooter to go with it. And you know what? Those are good things to have. You can't have everything.
If he gets that, because I think he gets the first couple of things, like he rim runs, he plays defense at the rim, and he dunks, which the Warriors haven't had in terms of dunking and finishing.
Sure.
If he does get that shot, though, oh my God. If he gets that shot, like that's a superstar. Like maybe you can't win with him at the one, but I mean, that's why you have Steph. So I'm a big fan of Wiseman. Should we talk about a little bit about kind of the options that they get with the disabled player exception? Because $9.3 million.
It's the same as the full mid-level for non-tax teams. It does open some doors.
It's a lot of money.
I think it puts someone like Gallinari more in play. Ooh. Gallinari for the taxpayer mid-level at 5.6 was always kind of a little bit of a pipe dream.
And we admitted that. We were hoping
maybe he'd really be turned on by the idea of playing with Steph and Clay. Now he could be Clay,
Danilo.
Or I don't know who else, because Gordon Hayward just opted out, but that seems unlikely money wise. We know he likes the Warriors. He would have liked to come to the Warriors, but I feel like there's probably too big of a financial gap between what he can get on the open market and coming here.
Honestly, so, if I saw Gordon Hayward take a pay cut from $30+ million to $9 million with the Warriors, I honestly would open up the same tampering case that they're opening up with the Bucks right now. I would want to know what the fuck happened. Like what? Who does that? Right? But again, like Gordon Hayward's a perfect fit. Like I loved Gordon Hayward before his injury.
Sure. But there's also Paul Millsap, Marc Gasol.
How many bigs do we need, Sam? More?
I mean, it's a Warrior rule that you have to have seven bigs on the roster at one time.
Jesus
Christ. There's guys like Kent Bazemore, Goran Dragic.
Goran Dragic would be a fantastic fit.
There's, you know, it's not the greatest market, but there are vets they can acquire. There's Kent Bazemore. There's Derek Favors. There's,
oh my God,
Mason Plumlee. There's,
oh, yeah, yeah.
They could also make trades. If they add another big, maybe you trade Looney for a wing player, you know, those are options too. There's Jeremy Grant. I don't know that they'll be able to get Jeremy Grant for that money, nor do I think he's the guy they should want to get. I think Joe Harris will probably be too expensive. There's options. There's obviously Jay Crowder is someone they could definitely get in that financial range. So, yeah.
Chris Dunn, I think, was thrown out there for
Chris
a little bit
Dunn's
too.
An excellent option for a backup, for kind of a third guard, excellent defender, not a shooter. But
yeah, I think maybe not. Like, I think you're probably looking at, I mean, if it's two wings, great, right? I think Ken Bazemore's maybe in the vet min level. I don't know if he's in the mid level exception, but I think if you can get two, like Jay Crowder would probably be perfect.
Sure.
Like,
or
I would.
Someone like, I don't hate the idea of trying to get a veteran big for Wiseman to learn from. Like, someone like Marc Gasol would be perfect. You just run into the issue of how many bigs do you need? So you have to trade Looney or Chris just to balance your roster, right?
Yeah, like, really. Like, mm-hmm. God damn. Looney might be gone. I mean, he might be gone in this Minnesota trade too. Like, it's $5 million is – like, we talk about Lakeup spending money, but you know, offloading $5 million is a lot right now.
And sometimes you just got to trade to balance out your roster. It might be easier to sign a big because I'm looking here, actually. The more I look at this, you got Marc Gasol. You got Hassan Whiteside. We don't really like Hassan Whiteside. But you got Derek Favors. You got Tristan Thompson. These are all, even Mason Plumlee, these are all guys who fit the veteran big, so you don't have to like ask Wiseman to be what he probably shouldn't be asked to be as a rookie, right?
Yeah.
So,
well, to me, the vet big is Kevon Looney, but if you get to have Derek Favors, I take him and flip Looney, right? Like, that's a pretty simple.
Right. Because with Looney, yeah. I mean, there's the reality of,
yeah,
a little worried about his health, to be honest.
Yep.
A little worried.
So, do we have anything else that we're going through topic wise?
I think that's it. Actually, we got a.
Oh, do we have questions? We can go through some questions, or should we do that for premium only?
Let's see. We can also save these for a premium mailbag.
That's what I'm
saying. Actually, most of them are touching on the topics we did. So let's save them for a premium mailbag. That's it for today. We appreciate everyone who subscribes. Rate 5 yep. stars if you haven't. And we'll get more stuff coming. It's going to be a weird year for the Warriors, but I do think there's there's still hope they could be a playoff team, and they'll make some noise. And maybe it's a little more of a transitional year than we were hoping. We were really hoping they'd be competing this year. This might be more of a transition year for them.
Actually, you know what? Since I got all night. I do think that the Warriors, I think it is less of a transitional year, Sam, than I think they're going to go for it.
All right,
different from them actually trying to, yeah.
Let me ask you this. All right, let's just say this is their roster. Let's say they add a couple of vets. Let's say they get Derrick Rose.
Yeah.
Say they get a Kent Bazemore to be a backup wing. Let's say they get Mason Plumlee.
No, I'll say Derek Favors, but I can't do Plumlee. It's disgusting.
All right, Derek Favors. and then, you know, that's their roster. Their main five are Steph, Wiggins, who, by the way, we should do a Wiggins episode in the next couple of weeks. Oubre, Draymond, and Wiseman. Where is that for you in the West? Ballpark.
So
it's still way too early.
Yeah, it's that's okay. I still think that team, I think that team could be better than any team except for the Lakers and Clippers. I think that
Denver?
I do. Denver, watching Denver, it felt to me like they really felt like a bubble team. They really, really felt like a bubble team. If Jamal Murray does it again in the regular season, then okay, I can see that. But to me, that Denver team felt a little bit fluky. I can see the appeal with Michael Porter Jr., who's a little
talents very obvious. Yeah.
Yeah. You could probably make the argument that Kelly Oubre's like that too, but not as much talent, of course. I think that Warriors team could be, and I would take them to win in any series outside of the Lakers. And I just throw the Clippers in there because they have Kawhi and PG, those two guys are just, you know what? I think they can be better than any team probably besides the Lakers. I will say that. I can see them beating any team in the postseason besides those guys. None of them amaze me. This is why I thought the Warriors could win a championship when they had Klay. It's just nobody impresses me. But then you go up against it's a little too much when it's LeBron and KD. LeBron and AD. But Sam, I don't think that they should be scared of any of those teams, even if Klay Thompson is out. I still think they got a shot to be the best team outside of the top one, the top two guys, the contenders. And then you look at the Eastern Conference, if they do get there, nobody is scary there either. Now that you look at the Bucks, nobody's scary there either. Miami's kind of who they are. Boston's, you know, Toronto's. This was the year. It get kind of sad here. This was the year, though, for the revenge tour. So it is a little bit sad.
Yeah, I think I don't necessarily agree with you. I think they're clearly in the bottom half of the West because Oubre and Wiggins, I mean, I like their potential, but I don't think they're ready to make that jump. But I'm okay with the Warriors if they are a feel-good story in the bottom half of the West and can potentially win a round in the playoffs and then enter next offseason in a much better position to make the next leap. They lose to Denver. I don't think
with certainty I can say that at all.
No, I don't. I can't say it with certainty either. You're just asking me gun to my head right now.
Yeah, sure.
I don't feel confident that they have enough to get beyond the second round in the West. And I don't think they can beat either LA team. Let's put it that way. And
I think Clippers are near an implosion, but you're right. You're right.
They could be. But what I'm saying is they're, losing Klay really hurts.
Yeah.
I don't mind Uber. What sucks is I would have loved Uber as a project with Klay on the roster. But here we are. So now I feel like it's a regroup period. Let's see what happens with them. And, not all hope is lost, I guess, is what I'll say. Stay healthy. For me, stay healthy. See what playing 70 games with Steph does for Wiggins and Oubre, and then start taking stock of what your next move is.
I think that should be where we end this podcast, and that should be where we talk about the next couple of weeks is how much Andrew Wiggins and Kelly Oubre can actually grow. Number one,
also Wiseman
with Steph and Wiseman with Steph Curry. It really is. Steph is he and. Actually, I think it's just Steph. He is number one at
maximizing everyone around him. There's nobody like him. Like absolutely no one in terms of like he can help someone become that much better. And the Warriors have three guys in the starting lineup that you're like, and the fourth guy, Sam, has made his career on Steph.
Yeah.
You know, like,
I realized we didn't even get enough into Wiseman, but we've talked so much about him on the last week's couple weeks episodes. If you want Wiseman talk, listen to the KOC episode, listen to the Vicini episode, listen to the Partno episode and everything like that. And we'll dive more into Wiseman over the next few weeks because he's a big part of this too. He's a huge part. He's going to be a major determining piece of where they go.
Actually, yes. He's going to be the guy, I think, because Oubre may not be here next year. Wiseman's going to be the guy that after the season, you can say, yeah, these Warriors are going to be in finals contention. Or you're going to say, all right, well, how are we going to get Giannis? Right? Like,
yeah, exactly.
Or, I mean, you can still trade for Giannis by flipping Wiseman if he's good. So that's another bright spot. But we're an hour in. Pod number 4 of 5 of the week. So, yeah, we'll get out of here. Join the premium show. We'll be back in like a day, I'm sure.
Appreciate you.